Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, November 27th. I'm Ray Graff. If you are thinking of making some improvements around the house, maybe you need to make a repair, we have the show for you. Today, we welcome back licensed professional engineer and construction specialist Darren Tracy. He is ready to answer your home maintenance and repair questions. Darren has extensive experience in construction, renovation, and property management and joins us to offer his expertise every so often. Always a popular show. Call early, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy and your home improvement calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. We welcome back Darren Tracy. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he's a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. If you have a home improvement question today, get in line. Call us, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can feel free to email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Ray.
Well, you know, you sent a I feel terrible. So I usually put a video on the page for today's program or for the daily program that you're on. And it's one of the videos you do on YouTube, some very handy things. And you came in and said, did you get this the basement video up? And I said, I didn't see the email. So I just put a different one on. Tell us what we're missing. I'll put it up at the end of the show.
Okay, the video I had in mind was basement improvement on the cheap.
On the cheap. Well, the now cheap. You have my attention.
Okay.
If I had a basement, I'd really be attentive.
All right. We get a lot of calls about how people can improve their basements. There's a lot of older housing stock in the Northeast, and affordable housing is tough to be had. So some of the buildings that are available are older and have these maybe subpar basements.
Yeah.
Maybe a dirt floor or what have you. So this particular video shows how to improve the basement on the cheap. This particular building was built in the late 1700s or early 1800s.
Okay.
Pretty old. It's in Schuylerville, Revolutionary War. It was a tavern. It's documented that it was a tavern. So it was a dirt floor, cobblestone foundation. So what we did was to level out the dirt floor as best possible and install a 6 mil black poly vapor barrier. You hear me talk about vapor barriers all the time. That really helps keep the moisture down, keeps the rising, they call it, quote, rising damp coming up into the basement. And that's easy to do. Anybody can do that. And another thing that we did on that video was to install some posts underneath the beams, because often the beams, the span of the beams will be too far and you'll get saggy floors.
Yeah.
So instead of replacing the whole beam in a big jacking operation, what you can do is just install some intermediate columns, lolly columns, or posts. And since it's a dirt floor, you don't have a footing, so you would create a footing by a couple of 4-inch thick solid concrete blocks, 4x8 by 16.
Would you pour those or would you just
Ideally, you can pour them, but you can just, this is an on a cheap project.
Right.
So you can just buy these for a couple bucks a piece at your hardware store or big box store and put them down. And what that does is it spreads the load out from the column.
Yeah.
So it doesn't compress the earth too much. So this video talks about that and repointing up some walls, and you've got a much improved basement on the cheap.
Now, when you put the poly down, the six mil poly, right? You're putting something on top of it, though, right?
Well, in this case, we did not put anything on top, but because very limited access in the basement, it's not a type of basement where you would store things or create a man cave or a woman. What's the equivalent of
a woman den? I don't know. I've never heard of.
Oh, I have. There's Women have them too.
Okay. Yeah,
the equivalent.
All right.
I'll hear about this when I get
home.
Yeah,
you sure
will.
In fact, you'll probably hear about it in about 4 minutes. Yeah, so there you go. So I have a question about the poly.
Yeah.
So when you buy this stuff, is it in rolls?
It's in rolls.
And when you put it down, is it, how do I describe this? If you put it down in rows, then you're going to have a spot in between the rows where moisture theoretically could come up. Is it all one big, huge piece? And if so, how do you get it in the house?
No. Well, it could be. You can buy that in different sizes, but 10 feet, 12 feet wide is a common width. And it's easy to just get it down through like a basement window or a basement door.
Yeah.
Or if you have a bilko door access, this case, even though this was an older basement, it did have a bilko door access, so it was good. So you just lay it out 10 feet wide and then lay out another strip 10 feet wide, overlap it 6 inches, duct tape it. You're going to have some columns, just patch around the columns, turn it up a few inches, 4 inches on each side. And in case you ever do, pour a slab over top. If you look on my YouTube page, which is to type in Darren Tracy Engineer on YouTube and my videos will come up. I have more comprehensive videos that show in a basement improvement like this, but not totally on the cheap, just an upgrade where we're pouring a slab. So you'd have the vapor barrier turned up around the perimeter of the building, and you pour the concrete, and that's why you'd run the vapor barrier up the side a few inches.
Now, if you didn't want to pour a slab, but you wanted to put something on top of the poly, whatever you called it, could you just tile it?
Probably not tile, but I'm glad you brought that up because what you can put down are pavers, concrete pavers, bricks, walkways.
Yeah,
anything like that, especially if you have like a furnace in the basement and you need to have access to that furnace, go back and forth, you're going to tear up that poly. So if you put down some brick pavers to walk on, then you're going to preserve the poly.
Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement. The number is 800-348-2551. Looks like you brought something. So this is another edition of Name That Tool.
That's right.
I have to describe it or you?
No, you describe it. You're better with words.
Oh, really? You haven't heard the show then, have you?
No, I have. Right, you're quite good with words.
Okay, so this is a pewter-colored, looks like a metal, cast metal thing. And it's, a thing. And it's U-shaped. It's got, in a loose sense, it's U-shaped. It almost looks like a clamp. Can I say that? It almost looks...
I guess so.
I mean, I already did.
Yeah.
So it has a knob that adjusts the distance of the open area. And I'm not going to go much further, but it's got a...
And you know what this tool is. Sometimes I'll bring in a tool and you don't know.
You mean every time?
No, you know what this is.
I knew what this one was.
Right.
All right, so why don't you describe it a little more since I know what it is. It's got a metal...
It has an adjusting knob
right
on the bottom, which brings part of the tool closer together
right
or further apart.
Yes.
It's about an inch and a half square.
Okay.
And this, I'll give the listeners a hint. This is a mini version of the more common size tool.
Right.
So the size might throw you off a little bit, but...
Okay, so this is, we'll see what happens with that. By the way, somebody wrote in, it's called a she shed.
She shed, yes,
see,
exactly.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
A she shed?
I think that's pretty cool.
Okay, number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll take a couple more emails, and then we'll take a break, and then hit the phones with Darren Tracy. Somebody also wrote in, Michelle from Ware, Mass, said, she shed. But the question from Michelle is, I want to install French doors in a concrete wall in our walk-in basement. Please discuss variables that I need to take into account.
French doors in a concrete wall. That's interesting. Usually the concrete wall in the basement leads to the exterior, so you should have to excavate around on the exterior. We have installed... windows, larger windows in a basement to allow occupancy of that basement. There's a certain minimum size you need, so we've had to cut that concrete, and you do that with a diamond blade saw. Usually you run a mist of water, too, to keep that down. It's a tough job. It's loud, dirty, and rugged. You can hire a subcontractor to do that, but you'd have to saw cut that concrete.
So you would, in this instance, probably recommend not trying it yourself?
It's not really a home improvement type weekender project unless you're really a go-getter.
Okay. This one's from Dennis, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll go to the phones. 800-348-2551. It is Darren Tracy Day with Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement. Dennis, who lives near Saratoga, writes in, "We have an antenna and Wi-Fi stick for viewing TV, no cable. When our oil furnace cycles on, local TV reception via the antenna breaks up into pixelated blocks and the audio breaks up. As soon as the furnace stops running, TV reception comes back. The Fire Stick is not bothered. Our internet Wi-Fi is not bothered. Our antenna reception is okay, but weak sometimes. We live kind of out of town with lots of trees and hills. We have a small two-bedroom ranch, and the furnace sits in the basement 20 to 25 feet down to one end of the house. My theory is the furnace creates an electromagnetic field when drawing power through the power lines. I've never heard a running furnace bothering digital TV. Can anything be done, like shielding the electric power lines, which sounds like a bother?" And that's from Dennis in Saratoga.
I mean, I can take a stab at that, but you might be more qualified to answer that question than me, so go ahead.
I can take a stab at it when you're done. Unless you...
Well, I would just say the electric motor has something to do with interference, creating some sort of interference with the reception of
There's a motor in the oil?
In the furnace, yes.
Okay.
There's a motor.
That's exactly it. Right. It's exceptionally dirty. It's throwing probably a wide... Some RF signals are very... narrow,
okay.
Very narrow in frequency. When it's noise, if you go past a street light that's really poorly or old or poorly insulated, you'll hear static on your AM radio too. It's the same thing. So what I recommend, but the pixelation, by the way, is just the way digital TV works. So it's basically either on or off. It's not the old days where you had a fuzzy picture in the analog pictures. Digital TV, it's got to lock in. So I would recommend, Dennis, amplifying that antenna. So you can order online or go to the store and get a TV antenna that has a preamp built in of X number of dB gain. And that should, basically, the signal's not strong enough. If you're far enough away from the signals that it's not strong enough to override all the noise. Mm-hmm. Best thing you could do is put a TV antenna on your roof. Next best thing is amplify that antenna that's in your house and maybe move it around a little bit.
Right.
So there you go. That's all it is. It's a weak signal, I'm afraid. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Darren Tracy. We'll get to your calls in a moment. Terry Gibbs on the vibes there. 800-348-2551 is our number. Darren Tracy's our guest. It's home improvement, maintenance, repair, et cetera, et cetera. 800-348-2551. Let us go to the phones and to Woodstock. John, you're on.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a plumbing question.
Okay.
I.
Whoops. Oh, hang on just a sec. Hang on there. I'll see if I can figure this out. So there's that. Somebody hit that, and then we're going to go back to John. Sorry, John. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a plumbing question. I have a shower that was built 25 years ago, new construction, and two of the shower heads come horizontally straight out of the wall, and they plumbed those shower heads with black iron nipples to build out to the tile. And the black iron is rusting. So when I turn the shower head on, I get a burst of rust. And I don't want to break into the wall. I'm thinking of getting maybe some rust converter inside that iron pipe. Is there something I can do without breaking into the wall?
You can try to unscrew those black iron nipples. It's going through the wall, so it might be sealed with a silicone or something like that. You can try to unscrew counterclockwise those nipples, and then if you're able to do that, you can screw back.
They don't stick out very far. Only the threads stick out of the tile, so there's not a lot to grab onto.
Okay, well, there's a special tool that I'll bring in on one of these next shows.
Name that tool. Yeah,
it goes inside the pipe and expands, so you can turn the nipple just back and forth, ever so gently, back and forth. And this is what I would try to do, because removing the rust and the mineral buildup from the inside of that iron pipe could be very difficult. And I've seen those pipes just close right up. Wow. They're notorious for that.
Especially, get a CLR in or something and get it out?
You could try that, but there's a lot of mineral buildup on there. And anyways,
Go ahead.
Just ever so gently, it's almost an art versus a science to back that pipe out, knowing just enough torque to apply in the counterclockwise direction, and maybe just put a force on with a lever and tap with a hammer. And if you're lucky enough to have that unthread, then you can use what's called a male adapter, copper male adapter, to screw back in and cut that copper pipe off with a pipe cutter tool, and then you would be back in business. So that's what I would try.
All right. John, thanks a lot and good luck. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. A lot of emails coming in. She Shed. A lot of people know. I've never heard of the She Shed.
Really? Okay.
And having, a lot of women in my house, I should probably know about that.
Right.
Usually, there's an extra house, and it's the doghouse. That's where I go. But let's go to Patsy in Athol, Mass. Patsy, you're on.
Hi there. I know it as a lady layer.
Oh, I like it.
Common.
I like it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my question is, I am having a semi-kitchen remodel done, and I have gotten some wide pine boards for the kitchen floor. We're in discussion. I want the boards butted together, and my contractor wants to do a shiplap on them. What would you suggest? Hello?
I'm thinking about that. You could do either. The negative of I'm thinking of older homes had just wide pine boards with square edges installed.
Yeah.
Butt to butt. The downside of that is that the dimensional stability of wood changes with the season, where we're more humid in the summer months and more dry in the winter months. And, a 12-inch board could change by as much as, depending upon the grain of the wood and what have you, could change up to an eighth of an inch anyways. So it creates a gap that dirt can get into. So that's the negative of the wine pied board. But it's a nice look. It's a nice historical look. Shiplap is similar to tongue and groove in that tongue and groove has got like a male that goes in between a U-shaped receiver on the other boards, and it slides in and out. So you don't really ever have a visible gap in between the boards when the board shrinks. Mm. So that's nice. And the shiplap is a variation of that, where half of the board is kerfed out and rides above the kerf cut on the bottom board. So again, the board can expand and contract, and you'll always see a board. There won't be a visible gap in between. So it's really a matter of preference on that. I see tongue and groove used much, much more than a shiplap joint for a floor. Shiplap is more traditionally on a wall.
Patsy.
Right. I suggested a tongue and groove. He does not have a router of, a machine to effectively and the bits to do. And so that's why he suggested the shiplap.
Oh, I see. It's easier to machine that way. But you can find woodworkers around that can route that out pretty easily. They do it on a shaper, and you know, you look around at local lumber yards, building stores, your better building stores, and ask, you know, what woodworker could mill this for you. It's quick. It's relatively quick on a pine board, especially if there are no knots on the edges.
All right, Patsy, you got about 30 seconds here to do one more follow-up, and then we're going to move on.
Okay. I thank you very much. How about nails? Cut square cut nails, or those rectangular ones?
No, I would use the ribbed nails or screw fasteners with a head that would be like what you would want to see, or countersink that a little bit and put a plug in it so you don't see it at all. Screw will hold it better than a nail will. And if you do use a nail, use a rib nail or a spiral nail versus a cut or a standard six-penny nail.
Patsy, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest. We'll go to Keene, New Hampshire, and I believe Christopher has a guess in Name That Tool. Christopher, you're on.
Good afternoon. How are you both?
Good.
Good.
Is it a pipe cutter, a miniature pipe cutter?
Ding, 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 ding. Number
yes,
one
sir.
Answer.
Yeah, very good, Christopher.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
Well, you described it well.
Yeah, maybe we described it too well. I don't know.
You get bragging rights.
All right. Well, thank you. And do you have a question, or do you just want to weigh in on the game show aspect?
No, I just wanted to win the prize associated with guessing the tool.
All you get is our admiration, but thank you, and you got plenty of that.
That's all right. That's worth millions. Thank you.
Man, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. Have a great Thanksgiving. By the way, Dave in Clarence, New York, also got it right. He emailed in. So congrats to both of you. 800-348-2551. Go ahead.
And just I want to say the beauty of this mini pipe cutter, it gets into tight spaces underneath vanities where a conventional copper cutter might be 3 or 4 inches long. This guy's 1.5 inches, 2 inches, gets into tight spaces, really handy.
Very handy tool and very easy to use. It doesn't require a great deal of expertise. I know because I've used one, and as you know, Darren, I have next to no expertise. Julie in Cambridge, you're on.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call. I purchased a beautiful home in the Village of Cambridge, and it is an 1800s home, and I did exactly what your guest has suggested. I covered my dirt floor basement with a plastic. I had somebody come in and do it, and they taped it up all around the columns and the stone foundation, and it's working. It's doing everything I expected. Reduced any type of smell. There's no moisture. My dehumidifier works. I'm having a very good level of humidity or low humidity down there. I have one question.
Sure.
What's happening under that plastic, though? That's it. That's my question.
What is going on under the plastic?
Moisture coming up. Yeah, if there's moisture coming up from the ground, like, is it condensating and creating, like, what's going on?
Okay.
Like, what actually, like,
good question.
Yeah.
There's probably a layer, could be a layer of condensation being stopped by the poly, depending upon the time of the year. You know, and the humidity level there is going to be high, but it was high anyways because it's the earth and the earth is moist.
Yeah.
And that's a really good story from Julie.
Yeah.
That's helping her.
Perfect.
Salt smell and humidity and a lot of other problems.
What about like mold? Could there be, I think I've eliminated any chances of mold in the house. There wasn't any, and I was my first thing I did here to make this 1800s house a little bit, better. I've done a lot more since then, but like, so could there be mold growing?
Well, there could be, but it's much less likely to have mold in your basement with the vapor barrier there than without it. Mold needs three things. It needs moisture, proper amount of moisture, proper amount of humidity, or a food source, and temperature. So it may not have the food source there with just the dirt. Whereas if you didn't have...
Right, well, that's what my contractor said.
Yeah, if you didn't have the vapor barrier in place, there is a food source in the basement, all that wood around.
Right. So. Well, Julie, thanks a lot for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest. I mentioned that Dave in Clarence got the answer right. He also had a question. Pressure tank and old well pump. We now have municipal water, so I don't think this has run in a few decades. It powers up I think it's still plumbed into a wellhead behind our house. How do I get rid of it? I can't imagine how much it weighs.
The pressure tank?
The yeah. old pressure tank and old well pump.
Okay. So that would probably be a shallow well pump, because a deep well pump is in the well head itself, like a 6-inch diameter, So, I mean, that pipe, the pump, shallow well, you can just, well, make sure the power is disconnected from the pump first, and to make it safe. And once the power is disconnected, make sure that your piping system to that pump is not connected to your to the rest of the newer piping system that feeds that is being fed by municipal water. It could be valved off, or maybe it's just cut and isolated wet.
Yeah.
And isolated in some form. So if it's isolated, then you can just cut it with a hacksaw or sawzall or 4.5-inch grinder with a cutoff blade, just to isolate the pipe. And those things are 50 pounds, the pump itself. Now, the tank is another matter. It probably has a drain valve on it, so you want to get the water out of it. And depending upon how big it is and how much room you have, invite a few friends over. You can roll it, rope it up the stairs, rig it the best you can to get it out. If you have to, we have cut up tanks before in the basement, but you want to have proper protection on. You want some eye protection. You want a respirator on. You want some good air down there. Don't use a gasoline engine down in the basement to cut that apart.
Yes.
You'd use a 4.5-inch grinder, something like that, or a sawzall.
Okay.
Cut it in pieces if you have to. I mean, it's work, but it can be done.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Let's grab a call or two more before we take our next break. Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement. And I will put that proper video on our webpage as soon as we're done here. Let's go to Newburgh. Steve, you're on.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty well. How about yourself?
I'm excited to be talking to you. I like listening to you.
Well,
so
thanks.
Now you get to listen to me, too.
All right. Good.
I just wanted to bring something up. I heard you guys talking about basements and finishing basements and vapor barriers. I work for a company in out of the Newburgh area that does radon mitigation. I thought maybe you guys should touch on that a little bit.
Okay.
To put that in people's minds before they start finishing up basements.
That's an interesting
That's a great
point.
Idea.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to do before you pour a slab. For instance, if you took that fixing up a basement on the cheap one step further and installed concrete, what you'd want to do is install some, and maybe Steve can give us the proper details on this, but maybe some crushed stone and perforated some pipe to gather any radon gas that might be in the basement, and then you want to pipe that up throughout the house. And that's relatively easily done when you take that job on with a new basement slab.
Interesting.
If you already have a basement slab, you got to cut the basement away. Maybe Steve can describe the process a little bit more.
Yeah,
go ahead,
you're,
Steve.
You're exactly right with the crushed stone and the perforated pipe, and laying that stuff in sooner rather than later is the best way to go about it. We see it happen the right way many times and happen the wrong way more often than not. So that's why I just wanted to bring it up to let people know that they should be running a test before they even start.
Right.
So
that's a great idea. Thanks for calling in and
working.
Bringing that point to light, Steve. And you could even do that without pouring a concrete slab. You could put the crushed stone and the pipe in and then put the vapor barrier over top of that, and I'm sure that would help.
You're correct again there, sir.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great Thanksgiving. We appreciate you checking in here. 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest. One more call, then we'll take a break, then we'll go back to the phones or the emails. It's Stephen in Springfield. Stephen, you're up.
Hey, thank you guys for making this whole thing happen. I live in a 100-year-old house, and in the basement, when we moved in, we had just a toilet in a room in the basement, and no shower, no sink, no anything. There is a set tub about 5 feet away on another wall. We had a, we think it was like a once in every 40-year flood. There were two houses on my street, and one neighbor lived there 38 years. His cellar flooded and mine did after a brutal hail and then rainstorm in June of early 2000. I'm looking at opening it up again, and we're just curious. What should it, what are the things that I should be looking at? I'm definitely going to have a plumber do it, but what are the things I should look at if I wanted to put a shower in it?
Well, if you have a toilet in the basement, it either gets rid of the effluent one of two ways. It's pumped out of the basement because usually your sewer line is at a higher level. Or you've got enough pitch outside and it goes down underneath the floor of the basement, and then there's enough grade outside that it goes out to hopefully a septic tank and distribution box in the leach field. So you got one of those two. Do you have a pump, or does it drain naturally by gravity, Steve?
I think it drains naturally by gravity, but okay. I'm wondering, because of that flood, does it actually need some sort of a pump?
Yeah. No, if there's not a pump there, it's a grinder pump, and it's electrified. You would know if there's a pump there. So if you wanted to install a shower, you just tie into that plumbing, and you want to make sure that shower is vented, has a proper vent. Any competent licensed plumber would know how to do that, but you'd want to vent that because that helps it drain properly, and just tie into the waste pipe that the toilet exits from the house. There are separation distances. You have to take that into effect. And if it was mine, I would want to know where that goes. Mm. You should have a septic tank outside and distribution box and leach field. So
okay.
Good luck with that.
Thanks, Stephen. We'll take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Darren Tracy Day here on Vox Pop. We'll be right back. Count Basie and the Orchestra, 800-348-2551 is our number. WAMC is our website. You can listen online, and you can go to the Vox Pop page for today and see Darren Trace's video, which is the wrong one. But I'll put
that's an interesting video that you put up, though. It's
Flat roof repair.
Yeah, yeah. It's a silicone product that can be used to repair both asphalt roofs and TPO roofs, rubber roofs, EPDM.
Yeah.
It's a pretty interesting product.
Tell you what, I'll leave that one on, and I'll add the one that you wanted me to put on.
All right.
Darren Tracy's our guest, 800-348-2551. Before we head back to the phones, a couple emails here. This is from Jackie in Salem. I recently put a new ventilation fan in my bathroom and redid the piping to the outside of the home. I chose the most powerful fan option, but I still have condensation dripping down the walls after showers. My bathroom is very, very tiny, probably only 8x4. What else can I do to help with the condensation? It's causing my paint to bubble and peel.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
If there's a window, crack the window when the exhaust fan is running. Make sure the exhaust fan runs, you know, at least a half an hour after you take a shower.
Leave the door open, too, when you're taking a shower.
Well, I mean
not
sometimes
all,
you can do that.
Not all the way, but just to crack. Like in our house, it's a small shower, too, and we leave the door open just
cracked
to crack.
Up a little bit, yeah. Those things would help. You get a humidistat to monitor the humidity. That'll give you an idea of when you could shut that exhaust fan off. You might need to run it for an hour and a half. You probably need something that pushes at least 50 CFM, and if that's not enough, you might have to go up to 75 CFM. Something like that. Mm. Maybe I need to get a better quality one that's quieter with more flow. It's important. Fresh air is really important. Yeah. As we tighten up our homes and make our homes more energy efficient, we want to have healthy air. It's really important. A lot of homes should have fresh air coming in to their home. I know it. We open up, when I sleep, I open up my window and I actually cut a hole in the wall above our heads.
You put your head out the window?
No, it's 4-inch diameter, and there's a special tool that a ventilation device that I can open and close, so it's not open all the time. But I can get a little bit of fresh air coming. I can feel it going from the window to this hole in the wall above our headboard. Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, it's pretty rudimentary, but it works without a power exhaust fan.
What about winter?
I do it in winter too.
Really?
I close our bedroom door so the rest of the house doesn't get cold. I mean, you're sleeping for what, a third of your life?
Yeah.
And I like to sleep with fresh air.
All right, fair enough. Lee in Oneonta writes in, I'm installing a sump and sump pump in my crawl space. I understand the need of the check valve and the exit pipe. I've been reading conflicting opinions about where to locate the valve above the pump. What do you recommend?
Probably closest to the pump. And the reason for that, if you have it further away from the pump, say 30 feet away, once that pump stops, all the water between the check valve and the pump will drain back into your basin. So the closer it is to your basin, the better. Also, I should say, with this basement video, if you have that you're putting up tomorrow.
No, today.
You're going to put it up today?
Yeah.
Okay. I won't hold you to that. But
no, it'll
anyways,
be up within half hour after the show.
If you have a wet basement, a part of this basement improvement is to install a sump, and that will really help you out.
What's the difference between a sump and a sump pump?
A sump is just a hole in the ground, and the pump fits in it. And again, you can do this on the cheap with a 5-gallon pail. I've done that before. Or you can buy a store-bought sump for $150. You would put a pump in there with a float switch, so it goes on and off as needed. It's really a great improvement for an older wet basement.
Can you have a sump without a sump pump?
You can. I have that just in case.
Yeah.
I put that like a belt and suspenders, even though the basement was not wet. I just put, if we're pouring a slab, I'd put a 5-gallon pail in the corner. Dig a hole, put the 5-gallon, and it's there. If you ever need it, it's there.
Interesting. All right, this is from, doesn't say, John, my garage is constructed with engineered trusses in the roof, currently 8-foot, 4-inch ceiling. I want to put a lift in the garage for my sports car projects. Can I use a beam and raise the ceiling in one stall?
Short answer is no. Those trusses are designed, excuse me a second, I got a cough here.
Okay. Oh, use the cough button. Yeah, that mute button. That's you'd be the first guest ever to do that. Oh, look at you. You did that. Thank you. 800-348-2551.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, those are specifically designed for snow loads, and you've got a bottom cord and there's a load on. You shouldn't. I'm laughing because I did this in my dad's garage when I was 17. I switched the motor of a 65. I got grounded for a week, and I had to. I had a 65 Plymouth, and I yanked the 318 out of it because it wasn't working. Put another one in, and I hung it from the bottom cords of the truss. Luckily, they held, but it's not the right. That was before I was an engineer. Not the right thing to do. No, you can come up with something else. So you can rent an engine hoist, or you can make something. But I wouldn't jack from the bottom cords of your trusses.
All right, one more email, and then we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest. This is from Ann in Rhinebeck, who says, my question is whether it's possible to convert our wood stove to a gas stove. If it is, how would we go about doing it?
Wood stove to gas stove. Not easily. You need a gas stove heater. I've never heard of that being done. Maybe it could be done, but there's like fire is something that you should take great care with in terms of safety. Your wood stove flue could possibly be used as it is with your with a new gas stove, because it probably handles a higher temperature. The wood is rated for higher temperatures than a gas flue. But no, maybe there's a conversion out there, but I know like Vermont Castings makes wood stoves, and then they make gas stoves that look just like the wood stove.
Yes.
But the conversion, I personally haven't heard of anybody doing that.
One time for about a year, I lived in a place that had a converted coal stove for wood.
Yeah, that's okay.
It leaked. Boy, I tell you, I was there. I would live there for a year. That was all I used for heat. And I didn't realize it was leaking, but I had the worst bronchitis for about a year after I moved out of that place.
I don't know. It sounds like some good stories associated with living in there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Let's go back to the phones. It's Andrew, and it says here, Withering Trail. Is that correct? Is that a typo? If so, where's Withering Trail? I've confused Andrew. Hello. How you doing? Withering.
Hello.
Hey, where's Withering Trail?
No, it's Lorenzville. I think she got it wrong.
Okay. I like Withering Trail. Sounds like a book. Anyway, go ahead, man. We seem to have a communication issue. Hello there. Andrew, how you doing, buddy? Okay. Hey, Andrew, call back because it didn't work out the first time. Let's go to Montague. Diana, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
You betcha dupa. Go ahead.
Great. Okay, so getting back to cellar floors, dirt cellar floors, I have a house that was built in 1800, give or take 25 years. And,
Hello?
It looks like it's, anyway, so the part of the basement, a different section, it's like a T-shaped house. And then different section has cement, but the middle section doesn't. So I'm wondering, what do you put on top of the plastic? Because it can get really slippery.
Okay.
So that you don't slip when you're walking across it.
Yeah, we sort of talked about that a little bit.
Yeah. Typically, I don't find that the plastic is that slippery because it's dry. But you can put pavers. Concrete pavers, brick pavers that you would use for landscaping purposes outside, you put those on top and it provides a great walk surface.
Okay. I have a second small question.
Go ahead.
And it concerns a drain pipe that came with the house. We bought it 30 years ago and it worked fine, but then somebody ran over where the pipe was in with a truck and broke the pipe. So then I had somebody who supposedly knew how to fix that. And they put in a drain pipe, which has now failed. Can you tell me what kind of engineer, plumber, work person would be able to locate the head of the original pipe and hook it up again with a solid pipe? Because there's an outfall to the storm drain right in front of it, like 100 feet away from it.
Okay, that would be an excavation contractor, site work contractor.
Okay.
Small mini excavator would be an appropriate tool for that. And you just look around for them. You go to any place that sells drainage piping, and they can point you to a contractor or keep your eyes open for, you know, these pieces of equipment around your neighborhood, or around your general area, and just start asking questions.
Yeah.
But it's an excavating contractor. Some plumbers do have their own excavating equipment.
Yeah.
Some septic installers would do that too.
Okay.
I mean, we have a great outside plumber that does that stuff.
A solid pipe.
I'm sorry, Diana, I talked over you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks a big bunch. Appreciate it.
Oh, you got it. Thanks a lot for
the call.
I'll get on it. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Yeah, we have in our town a great outside plumber who we'll do that if necessary and find drain pipes and outside lines and stuff. Very, very handy and very in demand. Kathy in Buskirk, you're on with Darren Tracy.
Hi. I had a house built. We moved in June. It's a modular, and it's a beautiful home. I really love it. But ever since we moved in, even before we put our washer and dryer in the laundry room, it had an odor of septic. And we had the plumber over there several times. They said they put some kind of a vent in there. and the general contractor came, and he didn't notice any smell, but it's still there, and I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, you can check your vent pipe that goes through your roof. It should extend 18 inches above your roof.
Okay.
My best guess would be that in the vent piping, all your plumbing fixtures are vented so that they drain properly. And then there's a main stack vent. Someplace a joint didn't get glued, and you're getting that type of odor from the pipe connection that's not an absolute tight seal. That's what I would say.
Okay.
So you just have to keep, use your nose and sniff test and just
check it.
Yeah, right. I mean, you might involve cutting out walls.
It's worse when it rains.
Worse when it rains. That's interesting.
Hmm.
That could be like a, maybe not, maybe a vent that's not appropriately sized. When it says worse when it's rain, that's a higher atmospheric. There's more pressure coming down, so it doesn't draft as well. So you might have a something that's not sized properly in your ventilation system. If it's a new home, you could ideally have that. You could look at the piping sizes and have that checked before I start tearing apart walls.
Either way, it's starting to sound expensive, Kathy. I hope it works out.
Yeah, and I don't think I should have to pay for it since it smelled like that since the start. So, all right.
Good luck and happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Jonesville, and it's Dave. Dave, you're. A lot of background noise there, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, a little bit of car noise.
Okay, buddy.
I got a concrete block foundation, 55 years old, and I got a bad crack across one wall and at the same level on the other wall, the two blocks down from the sill plate, the wall has cracked. The block is laid up, and it's a 3/8-inch mortar line on all the blocks, except for the back wall. And that particular mortar line is almost an inch thick.
Yeah.
My guess is that the block was running out when the mason laid it up, and he took it up with the additional mortar. How would I go about fixing that?
Yeah. You really need an engineer to take a look at that. Those concrete block walls often were not reinforced, and when they're not reinforced, you get a lot of these hydrostatic loads, and I see this a lot. I'm called in a lot, especially in the closings, house closings. There'll be cracks in a foundation and, you know, anything more than, 3/6.
There's no steel.
Yeah.
There's no steel in the blocks.
Right.
They didn't fill the blocks.
That could be
not much in the way of that.
Right. I'm just explaining it. Anything more than 3/16 of an inch of a crack in a foundation is an area of concern. You'd want to get an engineer involved. There's a few fixes on that. You can open up the top plate, fill the cores with grout and rebar steel, and keep it from moving anymore. It's not uncommon for concrete block, but you really should have somebody, have an engineer take a look at that and give you some guidance. I mean, there are basement system people like I don't know if I should mention it. I mean, there's a company out there called Adirondack Basement. You see their advertisements on TV. They have steel framework that can be utilized on the inside. You can install pilasters. There's different ways, but you really need a professional to take a look
at
that.
And there are many more out there that can do that. That was just one example.
Hey, Darren?
Yes.
Hey, Darren?
Yes.
In terms of movement, it doesn't look like it's much. I laid some straight edges against it, and the deflection is minimal.
Okay, well, that's good.
There's minimal hydrostatic pressure, because when we had a perk test done, the civil engineer who did it said it was the highest perk rating you ever saw.
Okay,
Jonesville. Yeah, there's a lot of sand over there. Still, when you have...
We're about out of time.
We got 20 feet of sand.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. That really helps your system out. So maybe you can just monitor that to see if it moves any in years to come. But even with sand, you can have hydrostatic pressures. You can have these deluge rainstorms, even if it's for a short while, you get pressure buildup on the walls.
Well, Darren Tracy, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. Thanksgiving tomorrow. What's going on over at the Tracy house?
Oh, we've got family in. We've got my mother-in-law from Boca, Florida.
You like her?
Do I like her? I love her.
Okay, good.
And got our son from Portland, Maine, our nice. Daughter and our husband from Plainfield, New Hampshire, small town on a dirt road, and we've got our nephew in from New York City. We got them from all over.
Fantastic. Are you doing the turkey?
No. I do turkey soup, though.
Okay.
After.
You yep. do the wild turkey?
I do the turkey trot.
All right, man. Hey, listen, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and appreciate you being here. I think your schedule, we'll see you next year. Right?
Okay, sounds good.
Support comes from Vision XL Lake Katrine, continuing a commitment to patient care, working to provide optical products and techniques while adhering to safety protocols. Appointments at 845-336-6310. And Temple Sinai, Saratoga Springs, New York, an open congregation welcoming the Jewish community and visitors for Shabbat and holiday services, cultural services, and more. SaratogaSinai.org for details. Once again, thanks to Darren Tracy for being here. Thank you for listening and for the calls. Sorry if we didn't get to your call or your email. Darren will be back again many times in 2025. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leon screened the calls. Thanks, Andrea. I'm Ray Graff. No Vox Pop tomorrow or Friday. Have an enjoyable Thanksgiving. Relatively free of acrimonious political discussions with your uncle from Dubuque. We'll see you next week.